Tonight, as I sit in my prayer, I shall fail. There are two or three messages that cause me to walk to my study, and long after others have gone, I feel like a failure. I have preached this message, I guess, 100 times across America. Not often. 4 or 5 times a year, maybe. I'm sure I preached it 100 times. I have never preached it in a Bible conference anywhere without going to my room and weeping after the service and saying, Jesus, I wish I could do it better. I wish I could paint your face more lovely than I did. So tonight I shall fail. Orators with their eloquence have tried to proclaim his loveliness, and yet they failed. Authors with their quills have attempted to paint the beauty of Christ, only to fail. Artists with their brushes have tried to use the canvas and on the canvas tell of his greatness, and they failed. I'll walk off the platform tonight, and I also will have failed. I was thinking a while ago, probably the first word, maybe the first word I ever heard in my life was the word Jesus. It may have been. I do not know. I do recall among my fondest memories my mother, who's in this service tonight and who can attest to this fact. My mother, every night when I was a little boy, she'd get me to her knee, and mother would say, son, and she'd hold the old Bible up. I've got her old family, her mother's old Bible somewhere in my office. She'd hold her Bible up and she'd say, son, the Bible is the Word of God. And she'd look at me and say, say it, son. And I'd look at her with my little lips unable to pronounce the words distinctly, and I'd say, Mama, the Bible is the Word of God. And my mother would say, son, say it again. And I'd say, Mama, the Bible is the Word of God. She'd say it again. And I'd say, the Bible is the Word of God. And then my mother would say, son, don't you ever let anybody tell you anything other than that. Don't you ever let any preacher or professor ever tell you anything but that this Bible is the Word of God. I recall I was chosen several years ago to represent fundamentalists in a debate with Christian Life magazine. I represented the fundamentalists in America and a liberal preacher from over at Garrett Seminary in Chicago or Evanston somewhere. He represented the liberals, and we had a debate in Christian Life magazine. And after the debate was over, this liberal preacher came to me and he said, Dr. Hiles, what's your IQ? Well, I said, the Army said it was 141. He said, I thought you had a good IQ. Said, you seem to have a brilliant mind. He said, why would a fellow with a brilliant mind as you have still believe the Bible is the Word of God? I said, because I'm scared of Mama. He said, what? I said, because I'm scared of Mama. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you'd had a Mama like I have, you wouldn't be a pagan heathen now either. You'd believe the Bible is the Word of God. And then my mother would say, she'd say, son, the Bible's about Jesus, and he's the Son of God. Say it, son. And I'd look up at my mother and say, Mama, Jesus is the Son of God. Say it again, son. Jesus is the Son of God. Say it again. Jesus is the Son of God. And my mother'd say, son, always believe that. Never let anybody shake your faith in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe it tonight. With all of my heart, I believe it. So many times. I say, Jesus, I failed you. And I'm not what I ought to be, but I never have denied you. I've never been ashamed of you. I've always stood for you. You may come and say, Hiles got mad while he preached. But you won't come and say, I didn't believe in Jesus while I preached. So you may come and say, Hiles is as stubborn as an old goat. Yeah, I am. I'm as stubborn as you old goats. But nobody ever leave this church and say he doesn't believe in Jesus, because I do. Nobody will ever join this church and be here very long and walk out and honestly and truthfully say he doesn't exalt Jesus, because we do in this place, the person of Christ. And it may well be the first word I ever heard from the lips of my mother as a little baby was the word Jesus. I know the first Sunday school class I ever attended to go to Sunday school. I know one of the first things the teacher ever told me was about Jesus. I was a poor little ragged boy. Our folks have heard it so many times. But Mother and I went to church, walked 2 miles down Ann Arbor Street. I was there, Mother, just the other day. Walked 2 miles down Ann Arbor Street. and I was barefooted, clean. I was clean. I left home. We didn't have any paved roads, and I was dirty when I got there. We walked in this church. Must have seated 400 people. I thought it was where the world had a convention when they had the world's convention. And I'd never seen anything like that before. I looked around. Talk about the Beverly Hillbillies. We were the original Beverly Hillbillies. My mama looked at that building, and I looked at it, and I said, my, I'm not sure I said golly, but I probably did. And I said, look at that. And a little lady walked up to us. I had on khaki trousers and a little white T-shirt. And the khaki trousers had patches in the knees. They were clean. And I was barefooted, walked in the back door. The lady walked up, and she said, hello there. She said, what is your name? My name is Mrs. Bethel. And my mother said, my name is Mrs. Hiles, Coystal Mattie Hiles. Oh, brother. And so she said, and what's your name? And my mother said, this is Jack. And she said, hello there, Jack. How are you? And I said, and she said, could I call you Jackie Boy? And that name stuck with me, and I was called Jackie Boy. I was almost grown. And she said, could I call you Jackie Boy? And I said, and she said, Jackie Boy, you'll be in my class. And she took me to the beginner department. I was 5 years of age. And she had a little bit class of beginners. I'm guessing 30 little beginner boys and girls. All the boys had on shirts and ties. The girls had on nice dresses. And all the kids had on shoes. I guess I'd seen shoes before. But she set me on her knee. And my little bare feet sticking out underneath my khaki trousers. And Mrs. Bethel put her arms around me. And I can still see that sweet Sunday school teacher. And she said, Jackie boy, did you know Jesus loves you? But first she said, boys and girls, we're so glad to have Jackie Boy with us today. She said, Jackie Boy Howes is our visitor. Aren't we glad to have him? They didn't say a word. They just looked at my 10 toes sticking out underneath my... They wouldn't have known me. If they looked at my face on the street the next day, they wouldn't recognize me. They'd had to look at my feet to know who I was. And she said, Jackie Boy, did you know Jesus loves you? I'll never forget how I felt. I'll never forget it. I looked up at Mrs. Bethel, and I said, Mrs. Bethel, does he love me as much as he loves all the little boys and girls that have shirts and ties and shoes? And Mrs. Bethel hugged me to her breast, and she said, Jackie boy, and a tear dropped out of her eye onto my little face. And she said, I imagine he loves you more than he loves any boy or girl in this room. And I never will forget how the joy of God flooded my soul. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. And I went home that morning. I danced all the way home, a holy dance. And I said, Mama, guess what? We walked 2 miles out the old dusty road out to our little shack, two-room shack with two rooms and a path and an outhouse out in the backyard. First time I ever saw a telephone booth, I said, nope, that's not what it is. And I said, on the way out, I said, Mama, guess what? And she said, what, son? And I said, Mama, Jesus loved me more than loved anybody in that class this morning. She said, how do you know? I said, Miss Bethel told me. And I'll never forget how I got home, and I went in the other room, and I rejoiced. And by the way, it's been now 42, almost 43 years since then, and I still am as thrilled that he loves me as I was 43 years ago. Oh, my, to know that God, through his Son, loves me. Charles Weigel put it this way, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Charles Converse put it this way, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our griefs and pain to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. M.J. Babbitt thought about Jesus and said, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him as Lord of all. A.B. Simpson wrote that little song I love to quote. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver on. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. All all in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. Another wrote, there's no friend to me like Jesus. He my every need supplies. He not only saves but keeps me. Nothing good from me denies. Another put it this way, sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Another said, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Another put it, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Another put it, there is a name I love to hear. Another put it, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his own dear name. And that's the reason why I love him so, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Someone else tried to express it and said, the name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete, the blessed name of Jesus. You know, for 5 years almost now, I can hardly say his name without weeping. For 5 years, it happened almost 5 years ago, and I can hardly say it. Dr. Evans the other day said to me, so Dr. Al, bless his heart, he's always asking me to help him with some tips about preaching. And by the way, he's getting where he's such a good preacher now. I'm asking him for tips about preaching. But he said, Brother Hiles, he said, sometimes I just can't get with it. I think I ought to be warmer. I think I ought to cry when I preach. Well, how do you cry when you preach? I said, I don't know how you're going to do it. But I said, if I get where my heart is cold and I'm burdens are heavy and the load is hard, and I get to preaching and I feel like I'm stuck in peanut butter, and I just start mentioning Jesus, and I tell about Jesus, and tears come to my eyes and a lilt to my heart and a joy, and my soul just gets bigger and bigger and rejoice more and more when I think about Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. Listen to its name, Jesus. Jesus. The eyes of all them in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. Sirs, we would see Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I see him when I wake in the morning. I see him when I look out and see the sun rising, because Malachi 4:2 says he's the Son of Righteousness. I see him when I eat a piece of bread, because it says in John chapter 6, he's the bread of life. I see him and look at these lights up here, because in John 8 and 12, he's the light of the world. I see him and look at these plants over here, because John 11 says he's the true vine. I see him when I wake up in the morning, because when I wake up, I picture the resurrection. And he said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. I see him when I walk through a door, because in John 10:9 he says, I am the door. I see him when I drive down the street, he says in John 14:6, I am the way. I see him when I study, because he says in John 14:6, I am the truth. I see him when I need strength, because he says in that same verse, I am the life. I see him in the first verse in the Bible. For the first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, there's Jesus. Revelation 22:12 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the beginning, God, I see Jesus there, because Isaiah 9 and 6 says his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. In the beginning, God created, I see Jesus there, because John 1:3 says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I see him in the Bible again and again. I see him in the creation of the plants, because he's the true vine. I see him in the great separation of the water above from the water beneath. I see him when the cloud comes up, for he's the great pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I see him when the rain falls, because he's the living water coming to earth, God incarnate. I see him when the water goes in the ground, seeps in the ground. I see the death and the burial of our wonderful Savior. I see his resurrection when the sun shines, and that sun is Jesus. And I see him when the sun shines on the ground and the water comes out of the ground. I see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I see him when the water becomes vapor and ascends back to heaven. That's a picture of the wonderful ascension of our Savior. I see him again when it clouds up and rains again. I see the second coming of our wonderful Lord. I see him so many times. I see him not only in the first verse in the Bible. I see him not only in the first chapter in the Bible. I see him not only in the first book of the Bible. I see him in every book of the Bible. Every book of the Bible. In Genesis, he's the promised seed. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the scapegoat. In Numbers, he's the brazen serpent. In Deuteronomy, he's the great lawgiver. In Joshua, he's prophet, priest, and king. In Judges, he's the judge of all the world. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's the anointer of kings. In Kings, he's king of kings and lord of lords. In Chronicles, he's the great historian. In Ezra, he's the rebuilder of the temple. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the wall. In Esther, he's the savior of the Jews. And in Job, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Psalms, he's the song of the ages. And in Proverbs, he's the truth. In Ecclesiastes, he's the wonderful preacher. In the Song of Solomon, our blessed lover. In Isaiah, he's wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the weeping prophet. In Lamentations, he's the street preacher. In Ezekiel, he's the rebuilder of God's temple. And in Daniel, he's a stone cut out without hands that's going to come and break in pieces all the kingdoms of this world and establish a kingdom where Jesus shall reign, where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. He shall ascend the royal stairway of Mount Zion and shall be King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall be king for 1,000 blessed years. And in the Hosea, I see him as a spurned yet forgiving lover. In minor prophets, he's the one coming in Bethlehem of Judah. In Matthew, he's the king of kings. In Mark, he's the suffering servant. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the power of the church. And in Romans, he's the dynamite of the gospel. In Corinthians, he's the restorer of the carnal nature. In Galatians, he's the rent veil. In Ephesians, he's the heavenly one. Philippians, our sufficiency. In Colossians, he's the great shadow. In Thessalonians, he's our wonderful Savior coming back to us again to call us up to himself. In Timothy, he's our great appearing God. In Titus, he's our blessed hope. In Philemon, he's the forgiver of wayward thieving slaves. And in Hebrews, he's the best of all. In James, he's the fulfiller of the law. And in Peter, he's the foundation of our salvation. In the epistles of John, he's our assurance. And in Jude, he's the one who's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. Amen. In Revelation, he's the one saddled on a white horse coming back to establish a kingdom on earth where Jesus himself shall be king and where nobody will ever sell Playboy magazines and nobody will ever curse God and nobody will smoke cigarettes without going to jail for it. And where the liquor shall be put down, and all the schools shall teach divine creation by the act of God, and where we'll fire all the school board members and all the teachers that aren't born again, and for 1,000 years we'll be with him. I say that I see him in every book in the Bible. I can just open the Bible and see Jesus. Just open the Bible as I will right now. Bless the Lord! I just let it fall open. That's Jesus. He's the Lord God Almighty. Oh, my soul! He's the restorer of my soul. And all that he's everything to me that is within me, bless his holy name, the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. You know what this old country needs? This old country needs a generation of preachers that exalt Jesus and a generation of Christians that exalt Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. When I see him as the altogether lovely one. I see him as the way, the truth, the life. I see him as the living water. I see him as the bread of life. I see him as the lily of the valley. I see him as the bright and morning star. I see him as the great resurrection and the life. I see him as the vine. I see him as the fairest of 10,000. I see him as the rose of Sharon. I see him as the bright and morning star. I see Jesus again and again and again. And tonight, I'd love for us to say, by the grace of God, we're going to fall in love with him and love him more than we ever loved him before and exalt him more than we ever exalted him before. Now, I call your attention as I pass on to several things we ought to do for Jesus. In the first place, we ought to preach him. We ought to preach him. We ought to preach him. Some of these crazy nuts that preach this morning on the Is Mars Inhabited that preach on Jesus that have a crowd back on Sunday night tonight. Some of these fools that preach this morning on why the Negroes ought to marry the whites, that preach on why the lost folks ought to get married to Jesus, we'd have more crowds on Sunday night. Some of these crazy idiots that quit talking about the National Council of Churches and talk about the national repentance and turning to Jesus, we'd have our crowds back on Sunday night. We ought to preach him. We ought to preach him. Young men, preach him. Young men, preach him. Preachers, preach him. I'm sick and tired of a generation of people that think it's sort of elementary to preach on Jesus. Well, get elementary then. Preach on Jesus. People oftentimes ask me across the country, what happened to First Baptist Church of Hammond? I happened to First Baptist Church Hammond 15 years ago. I came in here. Folks said, Tom Malone was on vacation one time. He came by to visit First Baptist Church, Hammond. And then he didn't know the church, but he visited here one time. He said when he heard I was called to this church, he broke out in a sweat and chills and fever. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't picture Jack Hiles in this. Said some people often say, what did you do to loosen up the services? I'll tell you what I did. Some of you old-timers remember, I preached 20 sermons on Jesus. I just started off preaching on Jesus. I preached one sermon on the hands of Jesus. Have you placed your hand in the nail-scarred hand? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. And I preached the next Sunday on the face of Jesus. I preached one Sunday on the feet of Jesus. I preached one Sunday on the love of Jesus. I preached one Sunday on the birth of Jesus. Another Sunday on the life of Jesus. Another Sunday on the death of Jesus. Another Sunday on the compassion of Jesus. Another Sunday on the resurrection of Jesus. Another Sunday on the ascension of Jesus. Another Sunday on the intercessorship of Jesus. Another Sunday on the priesthood of Jesus. Another Sunday on the rapture, the second coming of Jesus. For 20 sermons I preached on Jesus. When I started off preaching the first sermon, the choir would march in and they had on kimonos and and so forth. You say, you against robes? No, I'm not against them. I think they look a little dumb on choir members, especially on men. And but I'm not fighting them. I'm not going to fight. If you have them in your church, that's okay. But I just don't prefer them. But they came in and we'd sing, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before or Him. Amen. And the choir would sing, amen. And shortly after I came, a dear lady stood one Sunday morning to sing a special, and she sang an anthem. I don't like anthems in church. I like gospel songs in church. And she sang about Peter walking on the water. And she, ooh, and Peter, oh, what a walk Peter had. I never felt so sorry for Peter in my life as when he walked on the water. And I preached on Jesus. 20 Sundays. Guess what was happening 20 Sundays later? We had a song leader who would sing, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful change, oh my. We'd preach on, there's a name I'll sing, or there's a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. I recall shortly after I came here and began to preach on Jesus. One Sunday morning, it was a little rough. The battle was a little rugged. And I forgot my sermon. Right in the middle of the sermon, I forgot it. And I was on 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. And I didn't know what to say. I drew a blank. I said, he that hath the Son hath life. And I still forgot what I was going to say. So I stepped back and I made like I was doing it on purpose. I said, he that hath the Son hath life. And I still couldn't think of a thing to say except 1 John 5:12. So I stepped back and I said, he that hath the Son hath life. And I still drew a dud, had rooms for rent upstairs. In fact, I had whole apartment houses for rent. And I stepped back and I said, he that hath the Son hath life. And I still didn't know what to say next. And I said, he that hath the Son hath life. And still saw a few frowning faces. And I was scared to death and homesick. And I stepped back. He that hath the Son hath life. And I still couldn't think of anything to say. I was still dumb as usual. And I stepped back and I said, he that hath the Son hath life. And Becky was 7 years old then. She's married now, has her own baby, expecting another in a few days. I got home and Becky looked up and she said, Daddy. I said, what is it, honey? She said, the record got stuck this morning, didn't it? And a tear dropped out of my eye on her little brow. And I said, yes, sweetheart. I hope it stays stuck all the years I'm here on Jesus. That's where I ought to get the record stuck. For 15 years, I've stood behind this pulpit. This starts my 16th year as pastor of this church. I don't know where the years have gone, but I'll tell you one thing I've done. God knows I've made so many mistakes. I told you about one I made this morning, and I've made many mistakes. But God knows for 15 years, Jesus has been exalted in this pulpit. People say often, Hiles builds that church around himself. You don't come here very much if you say that. You know better than that. You know better than that. I've lifted him up and preached him and exalted him, and we've sung about him all through these years. Preach him! Preach him! Preach him! Preach Jesus! If you don't know what to preach, preach Jesus. If you can't think of anything to say, just get up and brag on him for a while. And preach him. Preach him. What else? What else? What to sing about him? What to sing about him? Don't you go, you preachers that go out of here and you sing about, on Sunday morning you sing about God the Father and Sunday night you sing about Jesus, I'll look you up and tear up your degree. You sing about him on Sunday morning. Away with this garbage of Sunday morning being the stately God the Father kind of a service where we come before the presence of the great, omnipotent, omniscient God of all the universe. And on Sunday night we come back and we have an evangelistic service. It's a cute little service. It's not dignified enough for Sunday morning because the bank president's there on Sunday morning and the mayor comes in on Sunday morning. Well, let the mayor hear about Jesus when he comes in. And let the bank president hear about Jesus when he comes in. I'm simply saying, sing about him. I'm tired. I'm weary of all these high church, high brow anthem kind of music that never mentions Jesus. Sing about him. Sing about him. I have a missionary friend. He's home now, director of a missionary mission board. But for years he was on the mission field. Many years ago he went to the mission field and he was learning the language but did not know the language. So while he was there, he heard that some liberal was coming. And this liberal, I'm not sure who it was. It may have been Buttrick. It may have been Nels F.S. Foray. It may have been somebody else. But this liberal came to preach on the mission field. Well, my preacher friend wanted to hear this liberal. He had heard about him, and he's on a mission field, so he went to hear him speak that night. Great crowd of natives gathered around to hear this liberal, God-defying, Bible-rejecting infidel spread his garbage and trash. And you say, you ought to love the brethren. No liberal's my brother. No liberal's my brother. No, sir. No, sir. And I do love him, by the way, but I'm not going to let him preach for me. I'm going to treat a liberal like I would any other unconverted person, like I would a bartender, anybody else. I'm going to try to get him saved. And this liberal on the mission field began to preach, and my friend could understand what he said. A little interpreter, I guess, a little lady about 19, 20 years of age, a short lady. She was interpreting, but my friend couldn't understand what the interpreter was saying, of course, her language. But he knew what she was interpreting, and he could understand the liberal preacher. The liberal preacher stood up there and preached no Jesus and no Bible and no deity of Christ for, I guess, 45 minutes to an hour and tore the Bible apart and slandered the Son of God. And so after it's all over, one person jumped up and ran down the aisle and wanted to get saved. My missionary friend couldn't understand that at all. That dirty liberal preacher had done nothing but tear down the Bible and tear down Jesus for 45 minutes to an hour. Another one said, I want to get saved too. And down the aisle they started coming. Revival broke out in the place. Great revival. Many were saved and great revival spirit. My missionary friend scratching his head. Well, I can't figure out. He preached no Bible, no Jesus, no gospel, no new birth. And so many got saved. When the service ended, he ran up to that little interpreter and he looked at her and he said, I can't understand this. I can't understand this. Said, what did that liberal say that got all these people saved? And the little interpreter, with a smile of heaven on her face, said, me no tell him what he say. She said, me tell him about Jesus. Me tell him about Jesus. That liberal preacher said, the Bible's not true. She said, the Bible's a wonderful book. It's the Word of God. He'd say, Jesus, not the Son of God. She'd say, Jesus is my wonderful Savior. You ought to trust Him. I guess that the favorite fundamental preacher of those natives was that liberal preacher. They thought he was preaching the Bible to them. There's one wonderful thing about this. You don't have to be an R.G. Lee. If you preach on Jesus, you're eloquent. You don't have to be a great orator, William Jennings Bryan or Bob Jones Sr., just preach about Him and sing about Him. What else? Talk about Him. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I'm weary of folks ashamed of Jesus. Ashamed to talk about Him. There are folks right here tonight, you're ashamed to talk about Jesus. You won't go out at work and mention His name. I mean, the name of names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who dipped His own soul into hell. God became flesh. Deity became human. Real wealth became poor. High became low. Sinless became sinful for you. And paid the penalty for you on the cross. And you go out on the job and you won't even talk about Jesus. God pity that kind of backslidden paganism. Talk about Him. Tell folks about Him. Talk about Him. I recall I was down in Texas preaching several, oh, it's been 8 or 10 years ago. Let's see now. It's been 8 years ago. I preached to an auditorium seating 1,000 people. It was packed and jammed in Dallas, Texas. And people standing across the back, and the balcony was full, and folks couldn't get in. And after I finished preaching that night, many of my old friends and loved ones had come up to greet me. And everybody was gone but the pastor and me and the custodian. And a little old white-haired lady back in the back was standing back in the back. And I said, "Pastor, somebody wants to see you, I think." And the pastor, who was Bob Keyes at the time, he went back and he said, "May I help you, please?" And she had a handkerchief in her hand, and she was twisting it. And she said, "Could I see Dr. Hiles?" Rather timidly she spoke. And so Bob Keyes said, "Hey, Dr. Hiles, she wants to see you." And I went back there, and I said, "May I help you, please?" And she twisted her handkerchief. And she said, "Dr. Hiles," she said, my name is Bethel." And I said, "Mrs. Bethel, are you the one that put me on your knee when I was a 5-year-old boy and told me Jesus loved me?" And she said, "I'm the one." And I said, "For 35 blessed years now, since I've been saved, I've been trying to tell people that." And I said, "I go up and down the country and tell people all over America about you." We mingled our tears and praised the Lord together. And I said, "Miss Bethel, tell me again." And she said, "Jackie boy, Jesus loves you." And the same bells that rang 35 years before rang again. And the same lightning that flashed 35 years before flashed again. Because I stood amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wondered how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Preach him! Sing about him! Talk about him! Talk about him! Don't ever be ashamed of Jesus Christ. What else? Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. If you're not saved tonight, trust him. If you don't know him tonight, believe on him. I'll tell you what you do. I'll guarantee you this. If you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you'll spend 30 minutes a day just talking to him, I don't care if you know he's there or not, just talk. Look up to heaven and say, "Jesus, I want to talk to you." I'll bind you one thing. Within a few months, brother, you're going to fall in love. Now, you just are. You just are. My, the sweet fellowship that I've enjoyed with him through these years. By the way, another thing you ought to do, too, is defend him. Defend him. People often say, "You won't even join a ministerial association, will you?" "No, I won't join. Did Dad preach to them?" "And I'm not about to join till all the ministerial association signs a statement. They believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God." Say, you don't have a good spirit. No, don't aim to have a good spirit about that. Well, you say, you got a foul spirit. Yeah, I planned it this way and plan to keep it this way. I've got a foul spirit about anybody who stands up and calls my Savior an illegitimate child of a blind German soldier and says he's not virgin born. I've got a mean, ugly, dirty spirit about that, and you couldn't do anything to change it. I spent 30 years getting it, and I aim to get worse and worse all the time. Till I call me from a certain church here in town. Sometimes things come out before I know it. He said, "I want you to come down, let me, and help me, teach me something about Sunday school building." He said, "Could I?" And I said, "I don't know. It all depends on whether you can answer my questions or not." He said, "What are they?" I said, "Do you believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible?" He said, "No." I said, "Do you believe in the virgin birth?" He said, "No." I said, "Do you believe in the sinless deity of Christ?" He said, "No." He said, "Now can I come down and let you teach me about Sunday school?" And I said, "No." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because if I find you and your car has a flat, I'll help you fix it. If you're hungry, I'll feed you. If you're naked, I'll clothe you. But," I said, "when you get up and preach next Sunday morning, since you don't believe in Jesus, I hope you get the hiccups." Yes, I do. Why? I'm going to defend him. I'm going to defend him. I was on the airplane the other day, and some big mutt was cussing across from me in the aisle, blabber mouth, loud mouth, vulgar, filthy mouth, cesspool of iniquity, and been cussing Jesus and cussing Jesus and cussing Jesus. I walked over to him and I said, "Who's your best friend?" He thought a while and told me the name. And I said, he's a dirty blankety blank son of a blank. I didn't use the words, but I used the word blank. He said, what? I said, I'm just giving it back to you like you gave it to me, brother. I said, Jesus is my best friend. You've been speaking bad about him ever since I got on this plane. And I said, I'd just as soon you not cuss my best friend. You wouldn't let anybody cuss your mother. Why let them cuss Jesus? No, you wouldn't. Somebody walked up to you and tell you what? It's one thing, if anybody ever calls me, you know what it is. I'm liable to either kill or be killed. I mean, you wouldn't let anybody cuss your mother. No, you wouldn't. But you let them cuss Jesus and get by with it. Defend him! And, of course, trust him. One of the classic stories I love to tell and love to hear, I love to hear myself tell it, hear anybody tell it, is a story about that sweet little lady who lay at the point of death. Sweet little Christian, walked with God for 70 years or more. True story, by the way. She's down south. And somebody said, who do you want us to call? She said, call my pastor. And she called her pastor, and he was gone. out of town. And somebody said, my pastor could come. And she didn't know that the kind of pastors other than those that believe the Bible. And so she said, okay, call him. And they quickly called the other pastor. He was one of those that didn't have a tie on, had a white collar here. And he walked up and he said, little lady, he said, I've come because they've sent for me. Your pastor's out of town. He said, now you're dying. And she said, yes, I know it. And he said, all right, now that you're dying, he said, are there any sins I could absolve for you before you die? She said, what did you say? He said, could I absolve any of your sins before you die? And the little sweet born-again lady looked up and she said, maybe, maybe, maybe you can. He said, all right, you just confess them and I'll absolve them for you. She said, but first I've got to know if you can qualify to absolve my sins. He said, what do you mean? She said, would you hold up your left hand, please? He held up his left hand. She said, now would you hold up your right? He held up his right. And as she died, she looked up with a smile of peace on her face and she said, I'm sorry, sir. You can't absolve my sins because my Savior has scars in his hands. Scars in his hands. And he does. And he will forever. And it won't be long, thank God, till we'll see him. We'll see him. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Oh, I want to thank him for his saving grace. In the streets of glory, ever hear his voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Thank God for Jesus. I've never seen him. Sort of a dumb way to spend a life, isn't it? Talking about somebody you've never seen. That sounds sort of strange, doesn't it? 30 years ago, this next December, I promised I'd preach him. Now for it, let's see, 27 years. 27? Yes, 27 years. October 17, I've been an ordained Baptist preacher. Over a quarter of a century, I've been pastoring churches. I say this so often before I go to bed at night. I'll say, Jesus, I've been preaching about you a long time. I sure would like to see you tomorrow. I sure wish you'd come. And every morning I wake up, I'll open the curtain wherever I am and look out the first thing and look at the clouds and look at the sky and quote Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awaken thy likeness. And say, Jesus, it sure be nice if you'd come today. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. I'll bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And the eyes of all those in the synagogue were fixed upon him. But we see Jesus. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that in all things he might have the preeminence. When they looked up, they saw no man, save Jesus only, say, I wonder how many times I've used that name tonight. Maybe somebody get the tape and count. Wonder how many times the word Jesus has come through these lips tonight. I wonder. I wish you knew him. I wish you'd trust him. Have you been ashamed of him? I wish you'd talk about him. Looking for something to preach? Preach about him. Looking for something to defend? Defend him. Defend him. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. There's no friend to me like Jesus. He my every need supplies. He not only saves but keeps me. Nothing good from me denies. And the eyes of all those in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. Can you imagine how that was? You know what I'm going to do during the millennium? When Jesus is here on earth? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a day off from the city hall. I'll be mayor, of course. I'm going to take a day off from the city hall when I'm mayor of Hammond during the millennium. And I'm going to call Jesus long distance in Jerusalem and say, Jesus, do me a favor. Come preach for me. And I'm going to gather all of us up that have been here all these years. And I'm going to introduce him. He's going to stand behind his pulpit. And I'm going to get on, sit down and down, maybe just look up at him while he preaches. And just let him preach. And fix our eyes on him. But until the day we awaken his likeness and see him, let's preach him, love him, defend him, talk about him, sing about him, until we see him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's been sort of a strange day today, a little different. Now we come to the close of it. I confess I didn't know what to preach about in this service. And I made a vow that whenever I didn't know what to preach about, I'd preach about Jesus. I made that vow years ago. I believe you led me to make it. Now, we couldn't go wrong talking about your son. You love your son. Certainly you're pleased because we bragged on him now for all these 45 minutes. I pray you'd help people tonight to make decisions for him. Speak to our hearts in this invitation hour. Our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. Have you defended him or been ashamed of him? Have you defended him or been ashamed of him? Have you talked about him? Have you told folks about him? Have you loved him like you should? Have you praised him and exalted him like you should? I wonder, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, but I've not bragged on him or exalted him as I should have. Brother Hiles, I know I'm saved. He's my Savior. I know that. Brother Hiles, I've been negligent in standing for him. I've not talked about him like I should. I've not defended him as I should. I want God to forgive me. Lift your hand, would you please, all over the building. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, forgive us. We don't mean to be ashamed, but we are sometimes. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. If tonight you feel you need to come and talk to God at the altar and make a decision, when we sing, you can do that. But wait a minute. Is he your Savior tonight? Do you know him as your own? Do you know Jesus? I wonder who would say, Brother Hiles, I don't know that I'm saved. I wish I knew Jesus. You made him sound mighty wonderful tonight. I wish I knew him. I'm not saved, but I wish you were. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, for prayer? Just raise it way up high. You don't know that you're saved. God bless you. Who else? Who else? You don't know that you're saved. God bless you, young lady. But you wish you did. Who else? You don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did. Raise your hand way up high. Raise it way up high, and I'll pray for you. Quickly, would you lift it? All right, tonight, if you need to come and trust Jesus as Savior, you come when we stand and sing, and I'll meet you at the altar and trust Him. Little lady, I want you to come, and others come. If you've not been baptized since you got saved, I want you to come for baptism. If you need to join the church by transfer, we invite you to come. Heavenly Father, bless the invitation. Sanctify it with our presence. And may Jesus be more real and precious and dear to us than ever before. In His name, amen. Shall we stand, please? I want the choir to sing, if they would, please. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth.